This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Burns hits one well. It had the right crack to it. This one is way back and gone. Valderrama cannot get it. And this may be your triple. This could be your triple. There it is. And the cycle for the former Giants fan.
How about that?
And Eric Burns with a big smile on his face.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Eric Burns, a very talented man, hitting for the cycle there in 2003. And, of course, he also played 420 holes of golf in a day.
Wow.
How insane is that? Let's bring in Eric Burns. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. You can watch Eric across MLB Network studio programming. Plus, visit ericburns.com to learn about Let Them Play Foundation, which raises awareness of the plight of inactivity-facing children. You got to get out there and play. Good morning, Eric. How are you?
Good morning, Eric.
Guys, all good. Good morning. Thanks for having me. You know, usually I go on with my boys in San Francisco at KNBR, and so you guys pulled out the cycle highlight. Like, they pull out something more like, fly ball to the left field, and Burns butchers it. What happened there? Oh, my goodness. So I'm appreciating the Chicago radio love. That's awesome.
Well, I got to tell you, we've been dying to talk to you since the draft, since you came on and talked about Andrew Vaughn and talked about how good he is and how much you appreciated him over the course. You said he's the best player you've seen, best hitter you've seen since you started doing college highlights and breaking down games and doing games. How good is this kid? That excited me hearing that.
Well, I think he's going to show us how good he is here shortly when he gets playing. So I think the biggest thing that I've seen with him that I haven't seen with any other college hitter was his plate discipline. And this dude had an ability to lay off some of the nastiest pitches that just had me shaking my head. I was swinging at these pitches in the booth. And you guys got to understand, like, the Pac-12, when you're facing a Friday night guy, you're basically facing a big league caliber arm. So you're seeing a guy throwing in the usually mid-90s with nasty breaking stuff. And so the first chance I had to see Andrew Vaughn was calling a game. He was a freshman at UCLA. The game was at UCLA, and he was a freshman at Cal. And he hit a foul ball. And I'm just like, damn. And I turned to J.B. Long, my broadcast partner. I didn't know anything about that kid. And I said, J.B., listen. I said, I don't know anything. I have no idea how good he is. I said, the numbers, there's nothing really here. Apparently, he hit one home run in high school. I said, but that looks like a big league swing. The next pitch, he drills the ball down the right field line for a double. And I'm like, CJB? I mean, come on, give me a little credit for trying to hire a little bit of talent. And JB was just kind of giving me a hard time. The next day, he hits two homers. And both JB Long and I are looking at each other going, whoa, like, I didn't even expect this. I mean, the guy had one home run in high school. And so I fast forward a couple weeks, and this dude went off, and I'm talking, I don't know, say between the time I did his series there and the time I did his next series in maybe a 3-4 week period, he had gotten up to like 10 homers. And we did a segment where I think it was like National Unicorn Day or something when I was calling the games at UCLA. I'm like, this dude's my unicorn. I said, that's it. That's exactly who he is. So we actually did a segment where when I did his games at Cal, I had him put on a unicorn horn, and we just kind of broke down a swing. But The biggest comp that I've seen for him is Josh Donaldson. And if you want to have a gauge of like what this guy has the ability to bring to the table right now offensively, it's Josh Donaldson sort of numbers. And if you guys obviously could remember, Donaldson's obviously still really good, but this is an American League Most Valuable Player caliber. So the question is just going to be, what does he bring to the table defensively? But overall, I mean, this is the best hitter that I've seen in years.
Eric, what makes his swing so pure and so clean? And then how fast can a guy like that make the transition to hitting major league pitching, because he's not playing a defensive position that necessarily you would need as much seasoning, perhaps? So what is the time frame and how fast can he get here?
You can put him in the big leagues tomorrow. I'm not kidding. And he'll do fine. Now, is he going to go off tomorrow? I can't guarantee that. The big leagues is kind of weird, because when you first get called up, usually it's one of those things where, you know, the hitter has the advantage right away because the pitchers are trying to figure you out, and then as the scouting reports go, that's when you're going to see Andrew Vaughn be really good, because it's like, he's not Eloy Jimenez, right? He's not the guy that's going to come up and he's going to, you know, your jaw's going to drop by his presence, and, you know, he's going to hit the ball 900 feet. It's just, he's a ridiculous good hitter. So he, and again, it's like the strike zone discipline. Every time I like to evaluate a young hitter, and even you guys go ahead and take a look at it when you're looking at the stat sheets of your favorite players coming up, and they might be having success, they might be in a slump, whatever it is. Look at the walk to strikeout ratio. And whenever you have a walk to strikeout ratio that's about 1-to-1 or even close to 1-to-1, you know you're dealing with a good hitter who is having sustained success. Now, if you look at that same hitter and say he's slumping for whatever reason, and you look at his walk to strikeout ratio and they're still pretty close, that's when you know it's just a matter of time before this dude busts out of the slump. Now, think about this. Andrew Vaughn, in his college career, had just about a 2-to-1 walk to strikeout ratio, which is basically unheard of. The only other guy that was, at least that I know of, that I did his games that was close to him, was Adley Rutschman. And Adley Rutschman was the first pick of the draft. So, you know, obviously Vaughn being the third, and then Rutschman playing the defensive position of catcher. But you could put him in the big leagues right now, and he'd do fine. But, it's not, because he's not a presence. Like, he's, I don't know, maybe 5'10", 5'11". He's thick, though. He's athletic, and he's a competitor. And he's more athletic than people give him credit for, too. I wouldn't be shocked to see him play third base down the road if a team, you know, the White Sox are willing to give him a chance there.
So, you know, obviously you don't just bring a guy up to the major leagues, as much as we might appreciate the quality of that bat. Normally, you know, they'll start him in rookie ball and they'll let him get on a fast track if he can do it. Is there any reason not to advance a guy in terms of needing to learn something at first base? Isn't that one of the positions where, you know, and really this is a bit of an outlier, because you don't want to take necessarily a right-handed first baseman. And I know you say he can play some third, but doesn't that, you know, if the bat's the reason you take him, you don't really need to learn a ton about what he can do with the bat in the minor leagues. You just kind of, you know, he might be fast-tracked above all these guys.
He should be fast-tracked. I mean, now, what you guys have to remember is that, like, if you're the Chicago White Sox at this point, what you want to do is you want to get a crew of guys. Mm-hmm. You want to get a crew of your young core players, and you want them to be roughly right around the same service time. And those are that you're going to go to battle with, right? Because after 6 years, you lose them. So, you know, if their crew of dudes is coming up, and you want to include Andrew Vaughn in that crew, which I think you obviously do, then you fast track them. But, you know, part of it's up to Andrew. I mean, they're going to, you know, wherever they send him off to, I imagine like a high A, if he hits well there for, you know, a month, give him 4 weeks to get his feet wet. And then after that, I'd send him up to double A. And then next season, I'd bring him into big league camp at the beginning and see how he handles big league spring training pitching, which obviously isn't the same. But see how he handles that situation and see how he mixes in with the guys. And then you make him earn a spot. It's not something I'm going to give him. But at the same time, if he's out there doing what he's been doing at Cal, I think that you'll see him in the big leagues most likely next year.
Before we let you go, Eric, real quick, being familiar with Pac-12 baseball, the Cubs drafted a second baseman from UCLA, Chase Strumpf, in the second round, 64th overall. He hit a home run just the moment after they picked him. That made for some cool drama. But what can you tell us about him and his projection?
I saw him as a freshman a couple years ago, and it's funny because I saw him in that same series with Andrew Vaughn. That's where I really got to like him. I mean, he was a freshman. He had cojones. Like, he came up in big situations. Wasn't afraid of anything. It was a time the UCLA team was really struggling offensively. And Jay Strupp, I remember he was hitting over 400 at the time and just like laying out one knock after another, using the entire field. So he's kind of like a typical. It's funny, when the Cubs drafted him, that's the first thing I thought to myself. I said, that's a Cubs pick. And, you know, so I mean, someone along the lines of like a Zobrist, just a scrappy player, like a Darwin Barney, right? Like the guy that's going to go off. And you know, the ideal, right? What's the absolute maximum would be like a Dustin Pedroia, right? If he goes out and, you know, fulfills all of his potential, and goes beyond it, I should say. So yeah, he's a good player. I think Cubs fans will be real happy if you know, once he's able to get to Wrigley.
Eric, thanks a ton. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Eric. Good stuff.
All right, yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.